I think it's still undecided. We need to keep praying. I know networks have called it, but networks don't decide an election. Okay? And we just need to keep praying and asking if it's God's will to expose the fraud. There's a lot of stuff out there now, you know, on the internet. What do you believe? What do you not believe? I will tell you of one incident that I know personally happened, and that was with one of the young men at the college who registered to vote there in Elgin, and he went to vote Tuesday, gave his name, and they said, "You've already voted." And he said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Yes, you've already voted." And there was only one name. His name was only, in other words, his name was the only one like his name. You know, if you have a name like John Smith, there could be four of them in the same county. But they said, "No, you've already voted." And who did I vote for? And they wouldn't tell him who he voted for. So, you know, there's a lot of things out there. We have a very smart president, whether you agree with him all the time or not. It's a different story, very smart. And we just need to pray for God to do what God wants to do, will do, and trust Him. Amen. So don't walk around with a long face. He rules. He's on the throne. And we'll just trust Him to do what's best and right according to His plan, and we'll roll with it. So God bless you. Don't forget to keep praying for Pam, especially. That will be good. Let's pray. Father, we're glad to be here tonight. Thank you for the privilege to have this newly remodeled auditorium, to be out of the gym, to be sitting on a nice, comfortable pew, and Lord, to enjoy being here together. I pray that you'll please bless our time tonight, like you did this morning. Be with us as we sing and pray and give together, Lord, and as we look in your book for a little while, speak to our hearts, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. Please be with our country. Lord, we just pray for fairness and right to prevail. And God, we don't know what your will is. We don't know what your plan is, but we trust you to do good and right. And we look to you at this time especially. And then, dear Lord, please touch Pam and bring her back to mobility and help her, I pray. I pray the therapy will do good for her. And be with her, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, be seated and we'll sing.
Find page number 333, page 333, and we'll sing first verse and fourth verse of Calvary Covers It All. That's page 333, verses 1 and 4. Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sins I atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it.
See anybody visiting with us tonight that didn't reckon? Anybody here for the first time tonight? All right, very good. We got a little bit different sound than we had this morning, Tom. I'm not sure where it's different, but if you could get back to what we had this, as far as the clarity of it up here, that would be good. And let me just ask a few questions based on this morning service only. Could you folks sitting over here hear the piano at all this morning? Thumbs up, thumbs down. You could hear the piano. Okay, very good. Can you hear the musical instruments back there? Can you hear them okay? All right, very good. On this side as well, you can hear, is the piano too loud down here since the lid is all the way up? Nope, okay, all right. Very good. And then I heard it was a little chilly in the auditorium this morning, so we've raised it just a little bit tonight. And if you start sweating, you can blame all the people who said it was cold this morning, all right? And it was about half the crowd. Half the crowd's hot, half the crowd's cold. Good Baptist church, amen. And all right, bear with us as we work through some of the sound things and also the AV issues and so forth. There's still a few of those to work out, some of the bugs. Spotlight needs to be raised, but we will get on to that this week and hopefully get it settled. There was some money found on the floor over here in this section. So I have it. If you're missing some money, I have it. I know how much it is. I know how much it is not. And so if you want to take a stab, you can. And if it's yours, but Trace Jameson found it. Where's Trace? Where's Trace sitting? Where's Trace? I don't see Trace. What's that? Where's Trace? Back left? Oh, all the way back there, Trace. Okay, so he found it, and he's already decided that if nobody claimed it, he was going to give it to the pastor's benevolent fund. And so no, I'm just teasing. So he found it, so if you lost some money, it's let us know, okay? If it fell out of your pocket, you reached in your pocket or something. And if not, we'll just throw it in the offering plate and count it as a blessing from God, amen? Money's just falling out of the sky, amen? Ah, very good. Veterans, we had you stand this morning. Thank you if you served in our nation's military. Thank you if you served in defense of our freedom. And, you know, America has been the place of fair and free elections. And I think just going forward, it needs to be fought for. And thank you for fighting for our freedoms. And if you didn't fight, if you served, thank you for your efforts. And I appreciate that very, very much. Is there anybody here tonight? You were not here this morning in this service, and you're a veteran. Anybody like that? You didn't get your back here? Ma'am, thank you for serving our country. I appreciate that. What branch of the service were you in? Thank you very much. All right. Anybody else? Anybody? How about a hand for this lady then? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Very, very much. Super. All right. Very good. Next, now, don't forget all the things that are happening this week. Our soul-winning visitation efforts on Tuesday, 10 a.m., 5:30. We've been having good crowds go out in the community. And so, please, let's keep that rolling. The weather's been beautiful. It should be nice again Tuesday, I think, through most of the day. So let's have a good crowd out, and that will be a blessing, okay? And then Wednesday night, right in the same places you have been, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, elementary kids, teens, and then the men and women in here at the 7 o'clock hour this Wednesday night. Don't forget about that. Next Sunday is Youth Emphasis Day, and we will enjoy hearing from the Bus Kid Choir. We've been working on that, Brother Allen. And again, like I said this morning, it's not at full capacity because of what we were with the lockdown and so forth. But it'll be a blessing regardless, and we'll enjoy having those kids come over. And then Sunday night, the teenagers will be featured, and it will be something different and unusual, more different than we've ever experienced before with that service. So don't miss that. Next Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock service, we will be led in that service by our young people and enjoy that. There are intramural games tomorrow night, beginning with peewee, basketball, volleyball, so forth, and then intramural basketball and volleyball for the high school, okay? So I hope you'll come out and support that. It's inexpensive, and if you left a chair in the auditorium, please take it home tonight, all right? It'll be destroyed if you don't, okay? And so please take that home if you brought a chair in for the gym services. Now, if you did not get a handout that looks like this morning in Sunday school, there are some on the tables, so please go by and pick that up. That is a list of all the classes, because next Sunday we are back to normal schedule, okay? We're back to schedule, normal schedule in Sunday school. All the classes will be meeting. And then in the afternoon, King's Kids, TNT, choir practice, all of that, which we haven't had now for months, will restart, okay? Now, the adult choir practice will take place in room 208, okay? But here are the times, all right? Here are the times, and you need to look at these because they are earlier because of our earlier service time. Now, I want to give you this heads up, okay? We are a little concerned about how all this is going to function with our afternoon Sunday school ministry. And if it works, fine. If not, we'll have to make an adjustment with the Sunday evening service time I'm not going to sacrifice the afternoon Sunday school just so we can come to church a little bit earlier on Sunday, okay? So yeah, we're going to keep it this way for now. And those of you that work in that ministry, you help us the best you can, and we'll try to make these times work. But it's a little crunched for sure. So if you don't have this paper, be sure to take one home with you. And everything begins next Sunday, back to restart to all those normal places. Our offering right now is going to be taken at the end of the service as people leave. I know folks maybe don't enjoy that as much, but we're just not going to go back to passing plates yet. You can drop your offering. The ushers will be back there. If you're going to fellowship, man, you're welcome to fellowship. But if you have an offering, please make sure you get that in so the guys don't have to stand back there too long. And we'll do that at the end of the service. And this is about the last time I'll say anything about Pilgrim's Progress. I've already started reading it, and I'm getting a blessing out of it already. I'm past the place where a Christian gets saved. I love that, such a that burden. What I like about it is where he loses his role, and that's the Bible. And oh, how he frets over the fact that he's lost his role. And when he finds it, how he rejoices that he has his role back. And it's just a great story. Many of the church have not read it, okay? Many of you have not read it. It is a Christian classic. If for no other reason, how it came to be that John Bunyan wrote this in jail, in the Bedford prison, because he wouldn't take a license to preach the gospel. It's a powerful story, okay? It's an allegory. And it's a little more, it's not easy reading for sure, but it's necessary reading for a Christian. So get it, plow through it. You got 2 months to do it. You got forever to get it done. So just plow through. We're not going to take the report. The book report is due January 1st, 2021. But one of the best things about that January 1st is 2020 will be history. And so, anyway. All right, very good. The sound is okay then tonight. You're hearing okay. And is it too loud? Too loud? It was a little bit loud Wednesday night. Is it too loud anywhere? Don't be afraid to say so. It's not too loud. All right, very good. Tom, good job. Amen. I was informed, I was teasing you this morning about tweaking. And I was informed that tweaking is a term that drug users use when they're shooting up heroin or something. So I apologize. I don't run in that crowd. Larry Johnson kind of runs in that. He just kind of where he runs, you know, down in the hood. Amen. So if I offended you this morning, but what is that needle you got? No, I'm just teasing. All right, very good. All right, we're going to stand and sing, and we're going to sing two verses, and then the violin choir is going to get ready to play, and while we're doing that, while we're singing, they'll play, and then when they're done playing, Brother Mick's going to pray for the preaching, and we'll jump right into it and do the offering at the close. Let's stand together, Brother Luke. Come on, lead us in the song.
So I'll stand one more time and find page number 338. Turn to page 338. We'll sing about the blood that stained the old rugged cross. To both verses, page 338.
On the cross of Calvary, the blessed Savior died. Oh,
Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that your Spirit can meet with us, no matter if it's in a gymnasium or if it's in this auditorium.
Yes.
Father, we do come to you and we humbly ask that you would meet with us tonight. We're so thankful that you are our God. We're so thankful that you would send your Son to come and pay for our sins. Lord, we don't deserve the love that you showed us, but Lord, we pray that in some way we would be able to love you, Lord, with all our hearts, and we would be able to do what we can for you. Father, we pray that you'd please take control of the service, that you would please speak through the song as it's sung, that you would please speak through pastor as he preaches, and Lord, our hearts would listen to what you have for us tonight. Thank you so much for what you've done already. Thank you so much for the Spirit so far. Pray that you please continue to work as you have. In your name we pray, amen.
Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm is raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. To comprehend this joy that's within, there's something that they need to know.
I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire. Lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued. I used to feel trouble, my sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then a tender mercy I found. Though life is rough, I'm not giving up, even when I am tested and tried. I'll not waste time doubting, I'll go on a shouting. I've crossed to the winning side. I have been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire. Lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from the desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. Oh yes, I have been rescued. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. I have been rescued.
Yes, sir. He's been rescued, all right. Got those keys out of that storm drain there. Amen. Yes, he was rescued. Yes, sir. And I got the full story this morning afterwards. I asked him if his ears were burning upstairs. And he was reaching for something, and Abby had just said, don't drop the keys. And then next thing you know, chink, down they go. So the moral of the story is, it's the wife's fault. That's what Andrew said. It's the wife's fault every time. So, no, anyway. Matthew chapter 23. Find that place in your book tonight, Matthew 23, and we're going to read a couple of verses. And again, I said this morning, there's no sense in you know, neglecting what's on everybody's heart and mind. And so I'm going to, again, bring a message tonight that is kind of centered around the subject of the remodeled auditorium and the building. And then we're going to move on past that and be done. But there's no sense in overlooking the fact that our hearts and minds are people. I see you, you know, I'm not going to chide you, you know, but I see you halfway through the message. You're, man, how'd they do that up there? And, you know, so get all that out of your system today. All right. And by the way, those pews, I was sitting on one during the violin. They are very comfortable. They are too comfortable. That's what they are. No doubt about it. So Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. If you're able to, Matthew 23, verse 16. Jesus, in the middle of his message to the Pharisees, says, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" Now, I want to take the question that Jesus asked in verse 17, three words out of this question, for the title of the message, "Whether is greater?" Whether is greater? Father, would you please bless the preaching of your book tonight? Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'll fill both speaker and listener with your power. Lord, we want our hearts to be helped and ministered to and taught and instructed. And Lord, set us in the paths of righteousness. Father, I pray that you'll bless the service as only you can. Thank you for the warm fellowship, the good singing, and all that's gone into the evening so far. Now be with the message in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Let me give a little introduction tonight, a little longer than I normally would. One of the most difficult accomplishments in our lives as God's people is to maintain a proper balance. Now, they tell you that when you're going into ministry, they say that's one of the most important things, balance, balance, balance. But that's true about ministry or not. It's just being properly balanced. Being balanced in life's responsibilities does not come easy. And here's why all of us are naturally given to certain duties over others. And if we're not careful, all of our attention and focus is centered on one area of life, and the many others suffer. Okay? Y'all might want to take that conversation outside because... Okay, you got it. Okay, thank you, Joe. Very good. So, well, here's what I mean by that. I'm not a basketball coach, but I know this much about basketball, having played it in high school. Especially the point guards. The point guards are the most important in this matter. If a point guard is, his dominant hand is his right hand, that's the way he's going to go. But if he's going to be a good point guard, he's got to learn to go the other way. He's got to be as adept at going left as he is going right, and vice versa if he's left-handed. And it's very interesting as I watch these young preachers preach in preaching class up at college, you know, you can almost pick up immediately which hand is their dominant hand because that's the side of the auditorium they will favor. I've watched guys preach in our little classroom up there. They're left-handed, and they preach to this side of the class. Nobody on this side even gets eye contact. But and the same thing with right-handers, okay? My right, your left, and so forth. But you gotta learn to go both directions. It's kind of the same way in life when you're considering this matter of balance. You have to be balanced in life's responsibilities. I think Brother Jerry Ross did a good job with that at the marriage retreat, talking about that very thing of being balanced in our marriages. Now, we have to realize God made so many things. He instituted both family and church. He did not design them to be in competition with each other. He didn't do that. Rather, He designed both to work together to accomplish His will on earth. And for some people, it's easier to put all the eggs in their basket, in the basket of the family. And then for other people, it's easy to put all their eggs in the basket of church. And if you do that, you know, both end up being imbalanced, and one of those important institutions suffers from lack of attention and effort. You got the guy that he's more given to put his attention and focus on the family. If he's not balanced, the institution of the church will suffer. And vice versa, okay? A person's more interested in putting his attention in the church. If he's not careful, his family will suffer. Men have to be careful about being balanced between family and work. Men love to work. God created men in that way. God gave Adam work to do before He gave him a wife. Okay, we talked about that. So men love to work. They love to accomplish things. And God expects a man to work and to succeed at his work. But God also expects a man to care for his wife and children. And fellas, that means more than just putting a roof over their head, food on their table, and clothes on their back. That means fulfilling their emotional needs as well. Okay? And men can get imbalanced if they're not careful between work and family. What about the women? Women have to be careful about being balanced between their husband and their children. It is so easy for moms to place their attention on children. Ladies, you're built that way with that maternal instinct. And it's so easy for you. You know, kids, you know, and kids need a lot of attention. A lot of attention. And especially when they're young. But you know, the husband still needs attention and time as well. And if you're not careful, ladies, you get imbalanced in this area between husband and children. Churches are not exempt from this thing. Ministries have to be careful about maintaining balance in their ministries. And that includes the spending of God's money. The spending of God's money. How much money should be put into sending the gospel to the world compared to meeting the needs of the poor? How much should be spent on a church building as compared to the need for buildings on missions fields? These are matters of balance. And all that to say that balance is a matter that must be given careful thought or will fall off one end or the other in several areas of life. We called it a seesaw. When we went to the playground as boys, we liked to ride the seesaw. I guess a more fancy name is the teeter-totter. This probably happened to you. You were on the top side of the seesaw when the person on the other side at the bottom decided to bail out. All right? And it's like, what do? There's nothing to do but crash. Boom, down you go. And that's what happens in life if we're not careful with our responsibilities, okay? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to have a famous saying. He said, duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. If duties never conflict, you know who that puts the burden on? That puts the burden on me and you to make sure that we give the proper amount of focus, attention, time, effort, energy to all of our life's responsibilities. We get imbalanced, all right? We have a beautiful, beautiful auditorium to meet in for worship services. Beautiful bathrooms now in our foyer for our use as well. A lot of people have commented on the wall with the missionary pictures. You figured out what that is, right? We're going to get some words up there. But those are missionary families, evangelists. These are people in full-time ministry who grew up here at one point or another in the church. I think that picture of Dave and Gina and Catherine is beautiful. And just a great picture there in the snow. And hopefully, we'll have to add some pictures to that wall going forward. And we'll see how that goes, okay? And it's beautiful. And I think that was Brother Mick's idea. And I'm going to stop right now and do what I said this morning I would do when I was thanking the people who participated in the remodel effort. I said, you know, Brother Mick is not here, but I'm going to give him some attention in the service tonight because he was the point man on the job for the remodel. Before I knew that he was going to be leaving the pastor, or maybe I knew that God had called him the pastor, but the thing with Burlington had not kicked in, I said to him, I want you to be the point man. I want you to lead the effort. I don't want to do it. I'm too busy to do it. And I don't know, it takes me longer to get stuff done now than it used to. Used to get a certain thing done in 20 minutes. Now it takes 25 or 28 minutes. I don't understand it other than just it is what it is. You know, the only alternative to growing older is not very appealing. Amen. So you just grow a little older. You get a little slower in some ways maybe. And so I asked him, would you do it? And he did it. And he tackled it. Full responsibility. And did a wonderful job. So many things that you could not see and did not see. I said this morning, he dealt with the unpleasant things of the remodel, the differences of opinion, the disagreements, when you had to say, that's not good enough. When you had to say something like that, that won't work. And he took that on, and he, Mick, I'm just telling you, I told the other men, thank you this morning, but I appreciate the effort you put into it. His heart was into it. And, you know, he said to me, what kind of person heads up a remodel project and then after 2 weeks leaves? And so, and I said, I don't know. I'm asking the same question, man, already know. But anyway, and so, but he did a great job. And, you know, I mean, obviously I had to be involved in a lot of it, but it was certainly far, far less than what I would have had been, not for Brother Mick's work. Now, I remember this. As we began to talk about remodeling and upgrading our facility a year ago, okay, we began talking about that a year ago, the question arose, should we spend the money to do this when what we already had was a very usable auditorium? And don't forget, we had a very nice auditorium, very usable, okay? You know, we could have replaced the carpet, reupholstered the pews, put on a fresh coat of paint, and then done. And that would have been a lot less expensive than what we ended up doing. So the question begs, was it extravagant to do what we did? Did we spend God's money unnecessarily? Were we in the wrong to remodel this auditorium? And once again, folks, I say the matter of balance comes into play when thinking along those lines. And I see the matter of, I see one of the things, a mental approach to this, Jesus talked about. I'll make the application here out of Matthew chapter 23. For every text in Scripture, there's one interpretation, and there can be many applications. So let me deal with the interpretation of verses 16 and 17 first, all right? In the entire chapter, Matthew 23, Jesus takes the Pharisees to task. Now, you understand who the Pharisees were. These men were zealots, zealots, who put all their energies into a show of religion. A show. Somebody said, I don't know who to give credit to for this statement, but it's a great statement. They said, religion is a good place for showmanship. I think that's true. You know, what they meant was that a religion affords people the opportunity to put on a good show for others. And these men were committed, these Pharisees, to a show of religion instead of being committed to following Christ. They rejected Christ, rejected His claim as the Messiah. And all they did was for a show. And Jesus actually begins the chapter by telling the disciples and the multitudes. You know, he said, look, you can listen to what the Pharisees say, but do not follow their works. Don't follow their example. Here's why. They say and do not. So you can listen to what they say and probably learn something from them. But do not set your eyes on them as an example of how to live, because they don't live what they preach. They don't even care about it. Now, that's very interesting to me, because in 2 Timothy chapter, or 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul told Timothy, that young pastor there at the church in Ephesus, be thou an example of the believers. An example shows how it's done. Okay? So Paul said, Timothy, you be an example. And then when you get over in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible talks about you know, the pastors at the church following the example of the pastor at the church. Whose faith follow? Every pastor lives under the mandate, the biblical mandate, to live an exemplary lifestyle, to live his life in an exemplary manner. It won't be perfect. It won't be without error. It won't be without fault. But his life should be lived in an exemplary manner so that people could pattern their lives after their pastor and live pleasing to God. That's a biblical mandate. But Jesus told these disciples and this multitude, do not follow their works. They do everything to be seen of men. That's it. Their praying was to be seen of men. They went to the street corners and lifted their voice in all these fancy words, only to be seen of men. So how do you know that? Jesus said that. To be seen of men. Their giving was to be seen of men. They came forward in the temple there in Mark chapter 12, as Jesus sat against the treasury to behold how they would give. And they came with a big show of giving, and they made a show of giving. They made a show of fasting. You didn't have to guess if a Pharisee was fasting. Long face said, what's the matter, man? You having a bad day? I'm not eating. Oh, you sick? No, I'm fasting. So you didn't have to guess. They were making a show of their fasting, whatever it was. It was all done to make an impression on people. And look, at church, in any area of Christian service, get over the temptation to make an impression with your service. You know, in preaching and teaching and singing and giving and praying, if what you do is done to make an impression on people, and you succeed, enjoy it, because that's as far as your reward is going. You've had your reward. What was your reward? Somebody was impressed. Boy, I tell you what, I don't want a reward that lasts much longer than that, because impressions don't last at all. I remember John Rice telling us, actually I read this in a book, didn't hear him personally tell it, but I read it in one of his books, one of his messages, and I think I mentioned it before. They had the citywide revival, I think it was somewhere in the state of Texas. And all these churches would cooperate together in these revivals. And he would have the pastors of the cooperating churches sit on the platform. And that's what he would do. And so John Rice, he got up to preach one night, and he preached. And he got ready to give the, he came to the end of his message, and he asked, he said, how many in this room don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? The Spirit of God's convicted you, and you don't know for sure whether it's heaven or hell. And John Rice said, 50, at least 50 adults raised their hands that they were unsure of their eternal destiny. 50. And wanting to include the cooperating pastors, he turned to one of them and said, now, brother, would you come and please word the invitation prayer? And when the pastor came to the pulpit and began to pray, O thou God of all creation, we thankest thee that thou art on the throne and thou rulest in, you know, blah, blah. And we thank thee that in Jeremiah 33:3, you said, call on me and I will answer thee and give thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. And in this text, you gave this verse and then this, and he just went on and on. And John Rice said you could just sense the Spirit of God just leaving. He gave the invitation. No one responded. No one. And after all the fellowship, after the service was ended and fellowship was done, John Rice went to that pastor, and he, if you ever heard him, he used to wear his glasses down the bridge of his nose a little bit like this, and he kind of looked over his glasses, and he would talk like this in a kind of a sing-song type melancholy voice, and he said, well, brother, I noticed that was quite a prayer. You prayed for the invitation, very impressive, and even gave God the references so he could look them up in his Bible. And the guy got mad, and he said, I'll have you know, I didn't give God those references. I did that for the people. And he said, oh, to whom do you pray? That's what prayers are sometimes. They're show. That's all they are. Show. And that's what the Pharisees did. Everything they did, showmanship. Praying, fasting, giving, whatever. It's all to be seen of men. All right? So you come down to verse 16, and I want you to look what Christ said to them, to the disciples, okay? He said, woe unto you. He's talking down directly to them. Sorry, he's talking directly to the Pharisees. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Now, the word swear means to affirm or utter a solemn declaration with an appeal to something for the truth of what is said. That's a big, long statement. I'll repeat it. It means to affirm or utter a solemn declaration with an appeal to something for the truth of what is said. So, a person would make an oath. A person would make a promise. And to confirm the promise, they would swear by something to make the oath good. You hear lost people use the terminology, bear with me, I swear to God. That's what they say. Now, usually the reason they say that is how they've made a promise. And in order to confirm or affirm that promise, to substantiate it, they're going to swear by someone or something greater than them. So they'll say, I swear to God. Boy, I tell you what, Christians should never talk like that. Okay, never talk like that. That's what they would do. And that's what he said. Now, Jesus had already addressed this practice of swearing by something in his Sermon on the Mount. You know what he said in Matthew 5:37? Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What Jesus said was, let your word be your oath. A man's bond should be his word. His word should be his bond. His bond should be his word. I forget how the statement goes. But that's what he's saying. Let your word be your oath. Make a promise of yes and keep it. You don't have to swear by anything if you just keep your word. Or say no and let it be done. Anything more than yes or no gives the implication of evil. Why would you have to swear by something in order to prove the truth of your words? You should be able to say what you mean and back it up with your action. Be a man of your word. That's what Jesus dealt with on the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. But the Pharisees were not followers of Christ. So they ignored his teaching. They continued this practice of swearing by things to make good on their oaths. And they taught the people. Here's what they taught them. Hey, if you swear by the temple, that's nothing. You don't have to keep your promise. You don't have to keep your oath if all you do is swear by the temple. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, then that means you have to keep your promise. Now think about that. That's what they were teaching. In other words, if somebody took an oath and they substantiated it by the gold that was at the temple, they were held accountable for their oath. But if they only swore by the temple itself, they would not be held accountable. You cannot hold someone accountable for their words if they only swear by the temple. Oh, but if they swear by the gold at the temple, well, that's a different story. Because in the Pharisees' mind, which was greater? The gold. The gold was greater than the temple. In verse 17, Jesus gets right after the Pharisees, calling them fools and blind. Look at what he says. Ye fools and blind. Then he asked them, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? People, the gold did not make the temple special. Rather, the temple made the gold special. Sanctified means set apart. So the gold that was used at the temple was very special because it was used at the temple. This was not a special building because it was made partly of gold. This was special gold because it was used on the temple. Because the greater of the two is not the gold, it's the temple. It's the temple. And it's because of what happened at the temple. It's because of the worship that took place at the temple. It's because of the work that took place. The offerings, the sacrifices, the singing, the reading of Scripture, the expounding on the Scripture. All of that, the ministry was what made the temple important and special. It wasn't the gold that made it special. It was the ministry that was carried out at the temple that made the gold special. That special, special gold. Why is that special gold? Because it's on the temple. And the work in the ministry of the temple is so special. Now, let me make an application. That's the interpretation. Let me make an application for us here as we seek to maintain balance in our approach to the buildings. This is the last time I'm going to refer to this, and we're going to move on. All right? Let me say this first of all. The ministry that goes on in this building is greater than the building. Greater than the building. We understand that the building is a what? It's a tool. It's a tool. A building is not the end. It is a means to the end. What goes on in this building? Well, the worship of God. You know, I don't know what you were doing tonight as we sang the song, Bow the Knee. But if from your heart you were singing those words in devotion, in praise, in love to your God, that's worship. That's worship. The worship of God goes on in this building. The preaching of God's Word goes on in this building. The teaching of God's Word happens in this building. Praying to God happens in this building. Confessing sin and repenting and intercession and supplication goes on in this building. The singing of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs takes place in this building, the giving of money for God's work and God's glory, the fellowship that is such a necessary part of the Christian life, that fellowship that you can only, it's a special kind of fellowship when the assembly assembles. There's a special fellowship. Sinners get saved. Converts get baptized. Believers join the assembly. Saints get fed, encouraged, and edified in grace. In this building, men are ordained to ministry and sent out to serve the Lord. Marriages get help. Relationships get strengthened. Fires of love for Christ are rekindled. And you know what? Occasionally, a prodigal comes home. Babies are dedicated to the glory of God. Marriages are performed that are pictures of the relationship between Christ and the church. Funerals are conducted where God's comfort is administered to grieving hearts. That's what happens in this building. The Holy Spirit visits us, and He turns a sermon into a message, and He turns a service into a meeting with God. Look, people, any single one of that list that I just went through is more important than this entire building and all the material used to build it. More so. And collectively, when you add all those things, that list I went, they are far greater than gold, silver, or any other building material. It's the work of the men. Look, if building material makes the building special and important, then the most important buildings in America are the casinos. He says what Brother Mick told me. He thought they're pretty fancy. He went in there. Man, they're elaborate. I don't know. I haven't been in one. But from what I see just driving by, it's like, whoa. But I want to tell you something. It's not the material that makes the building special. It's the ministry of a local church that makes a building special. Another reason the building is valuable is because of who comes to this place. And I'm not talking about me and you. It's not only the work that makes it special, the person who is in the midst of the church is really what makes it special. You know who that is, don't you? Revelation chapter 1 teaches us that Jesus is in the midst of the right kind of local church. And I'm going to tell you what, who is in our midst makes this very, very special. Very, very special. So the ministry that goes on in this building is greater than the building. And we have to remember that. Okay? By the way, that means if you meet in a cave or a forest, that's a great place. And if it comes to that, we have to meet out in a hayfield somewhere. That'd be a great place too. It's what goes on that makes the building special here. But then I want to say this, number two. The building that houses the ministry deserves to be the very best it can be. The building that houses the ministry deserves to be the very best it can be. Because of the ministry that went on in the temple, it was a magnificent building. People, 1 Kings chapter 6, 1 Kings or 2 Kings? Yeah, 1 Kings chapter, I thought it was. 1 Kings chapter 6 describes for us the materials used to build Solomon's temple. Do you know what word is used 11 times to describe the building of that temple? Gold. Gold is used 11 times in one chapter to describe the building of that temple. It was stunning. Stunning. Don't forget when the Queen of Sheba came from the south to look the kingdom of Israel over when Solomon was king. She couldn't believe it. The half has never been told. The word gold used 11 times. It was a magnificent facility. Now look, the building is not as important or as great as the work that goes on here. It's definitely not as great as the one who comes and is in the midst here. But because of the work that goes on here, and because of the one who is in the midst, the building should be as nice as it can be. And God has given us an extremely nice facility, debt-free, to use because, look, the work that goes on here is special. So let's make the building as special as we can make it. Not extravagant. I don't see any gold around here, do you? I don't think. I don't see any. I don't know that the material used here is extremely expensive material, but it's nice. and it's pretty, and there's nothing wrong with that. No. If there's something wrong with that, then Solomon's temple was the worst thing ever done. It was magnificent. Look, as I said before, God does not need beautiful buildings to accomplish His work. Great work goes on when God's people meet in forests or caves or small rooms in houses, when they baptize in bathtubs like they do in China. Okay? God doesn't need a beautiful building to accomplish His work. And Jesus is in the midst of those gatherings as well. But you know what? Because the work is special, make the building as nice as you can make it. Now listen. One of the most interesting things about visiting a mission field, my observation now. Maybe Brother Gellis can help me with this. He's been on mission trips. In my experience, going to the mission field, the most beautiful buildings, the prettiest buildings in the towns and the areas where these ministries are conducted are the church buildings. In my experience. They're not like this. But the Philippines, when we went to Steve Heidenreich's place, up in the mountains outside of Iloilo, where those people walked through the rice fields to come to church, and you're driving up this winding mountain road, and you're climbing and climbing and climbing, and it's dirt and little villages, and then you come across, you turn this curve, and you look down, and here is this shiny white with a blue steel roof complex, two or three buildings that was the home of Gospel Baptist Church. It was the most beautiful thing in that whole area. Not as pretty as this, but compared to other things that were there, it was the most beautiful. When I went to Rick Martin's place, Brother Gomez and I and some other guys, Rick Martin's church is beautiful. When we went to the Harrisons, whatever year that was, Ryan, 98, 97, and went to Buenos Aires, my wife and I, here was this residential part of Buenos Aires where the church was located, and it wasn't a very pretty part of town, but the prettiest thing in that part of Buenos Aires was the church building where Brother Harrison pastored. You know what I say? The church building ought to be one of the nicest places in town. Why is it need? Does it need to be nice because God only works in nice places? No. But it needs to be nice because of what happens there. It's a special work. You said, look, it's so easy to become imbalanced and have the attitude. You know, if the work makes the building important, then let's build a palace. No. No need to do that. Well, if the building is not as important as the work, then let's leave the building be and do the work. Well, why don't we have the proper balance? Understanding that what happens here and who is in the midst here makes this building very special. And because of that, let's make it and keep it as special as we can. As special as we can. That's why we're asking no food, drink. Please don't bring coffee and Dunkin' latte, frappuccino, whatever that is, iced things in here this size, and take three sips out of it and dump it on those new pews. Please don't do that. Let's keep it nice. It's not to be worshipped. And the kids don't need to treat this like a museum. It's not what it is. It's a tool. It's a building. But it's a very special place because of the work that goes on here. Whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? This golden oak, that golden oak out there is very special golden oak. Where did it come from? I don't know. Oak tree. What makes it so special? It's in the church auditorium. Church auditorium. Those instruments, these pews, very, very special. Why? Was there some kind of extravagant material on these pews? No, it's not extravagant at all. But they're in the church building. It's a very special place. And because it is, we want to have the proper balance. We understand that the work is far more important than the material. In fact, the material is sanctified by the work. And let's keep it nice. And let's use it for the glory of God. And let's worship the one who comes in the midst of this place. Again, I express my thanks, my appreciation to every person. And if I mentioned some names this morning, I know I left some out. But again, you know who you are. And if you've given over the years faithfully and you've given consistently, then God has used you to help this make this become a reality. And I thank you. And we're done now emphasizing the building. It's time to get on to more important things and talking about a building. But I want to be balanced. I'm very thankful. And I told you last week, I was advised by older pastors who got out of debt in their ministries. And they said, what happens is when you get out of debt in your ministry and the offerings are good and the money is there, dress up the building for the people. Dress it up. And that's why we did what we did. I'm not apologizing for it. I'm not apologetic. I think it was the right thing to do. It was time for a facelift. And I'm very pleased with the place that God has given us to carry on an important work for His glory. That's a different message. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And let me just say, in light of this, Sunday school teachers and those of you that participate in music ministry, those of you that teach or preach in a junior church setting or on a bus or in a classroom or behind this pulpit, this desk, those of you who usher, those of you who serve in some part of the ministry here, let's put our best foot forward. Because it's a very, very special place. Because of the ministry, the work that goes on here. Whether is the greater, the gold or the temple that sets apart that gold. Father, our day has been spent today praising You, thanking You, worshiping You, giving You, I hope, the proper blessing and adoration for all that You've allowed us to experience. This does not make us a better church, does not make us a more powerful church. Does not make us a more obedient church. But I trust, Lord, the attitude here is just a good balance. And I thank You for the work that goes on in this building. And because the work is so special, it sanctifies and sets apart all the materials used to put it together. And I thank You for what we can enjoy. But God, more importantly, we hope that the one who stands in the midst of this place is pleased with our heart, our mind, our spirit, our attitude. God, I pray that You'll be lifted up. You'll be honored. You'll be glorified through the work going forward at Faith Baptist Church. And again, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for a very beautiful place to meet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're lost, there's always an invitation for you to be saved. Different type message. This is the last you'll hear of it. Ask the ladies to play an invitation song. And then as she plays, if you want to somehow obey the Lord tonight, if God spoke to you specifically about ministry, work, service, let's put our best foot forward for the cause of Christ. It's a beautiful place, but the material's not what makes it beautiful. It's the effort, the ministry, the work that goes into it. That is most special. Sanctifies and sets apart all the material used in the project. Thank You, Naomi. Father in heaven, it's been a wonderful day as we have celebrated this restart in the auditorium. And even more so next Sunday as all the classes and other afternoon ministries get restarted. Help us to return from this lockdown with a purpose, Lord, to honor and serve You. And Lord, if our time is short, the days remaining may be few. Help us to put an urgency behind everything we do. Thank You again for a beautiful place, but thank You more so for the ministry that makes this place what it is. We love You, And I hope, God, when we lay our heads on our pillows tonight, that you are pleased with the things that have been said and done here today. We worship you and thank you and adore you for all your blessings. And we can say all this to you in the only name that makes any difference, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.